Welcome back. So after that quick review of syntax, now I know that was kind of fast, but we're going to be looking at the syntax for the entire course. So don't get worried that we hit that kind of quick. You're going to be absorbing that syntax as we go. So we want to keep moving now and talk about test design and test drive. And I've heard this acronym TDD. I'm not really sure what that means, Adam.
Well, let me show you, Ashley. Actually, TDD is a concept in the software development world. It's been around for a long time. It stands for test-driven development. And what that is, that's kind of taking whenever you write new code, this is what applies. So you develop code, it's test-driven. So you write tests first before you even write the code at all. And you may think, what, you know, how do I even know what I want to write before I write it? And there's an approach that we normally do. You're never going to do exactly TDD. You know, the TDD purists are like, we should always write these tests first. Always. Never write any functional code whatsoever and then write the code. What you'll find is if you do the approach with a TDD approach, you'll kind of do a hybrid approach where you kind of write a little bit of code, as small amount of code as possible, and write tests along the way.
Okay.
And then as part of that, we're going to discuss test drive. As we're implementing the TDD methodology, we will focus on the pester concept called test drive, which is a really great way to create and read files off of the file system without actually doing it. You see that it's a kind of an ephemeral
thing. Now, are those two strongly tied together? Are those concepts like strongly linked?
Nope, not at all. The only reason we're talking about test drive here is it's kind of one of those weird concepts that don't really fit in real well with other things. And we're actually using it as part of the TDD process that we're explaining.
So all right.
All right, so a little bit about TDD. We are going to use, in this upcoming demo, is build TDD to build a function. As you'll find in Pester, functions are everywhere. If you don't have a function, it's probably not going to be testable. You'll see that probably doesn't make sense now. You're going to like, well, I don't like functions, or I only build functions every now and then. If you start writing Pester, you're going to be building a lot more functions.
So wait. So if I'm writing spaghetti code that's just like stream of consciousness, this command, flowing down a PS1 script file, I can't test that? That's what you're telling me?
Well, let's just say you can test it. But you're going to be in a world of hurt if you're just dumping a line of text into a script file. You need to, that's when we said at the beginning, we need to refactor this code to make it testable. So you're not only writing good tests, you're actually writing better code as you write your tests.
Okay. So this is going to make me a better scripter.
Correct. Yes. Correct. It's going to make us all a better scripter. I can tell you I thought I was good because I started with PowerShell mode, and I'm the best PowerSheller. I can do anything until you start testing. Oh, wow, I have a lot of work to do.
All right, well, let's get into it then.
All right, so TDD is test-driven development, as I said. So first thing we're going to do, the biggest part is we'll create the test for the function first. We're going to ensure those tests fail. So in order to get an accurate representation of a code, if it just passes the first time, you never know. Did you write your test? You could do a true equals true, should be true on one of the tests. You never know if it's actually right or not. So you need to confirm failure and confirm pass and be able to control that. And then last thing, we're going to actually write the code to make the test pass. In a nutshell, that's all TDD is.
Okay.
All right, so let's get into the demo here.
Into the demos. All right.
Into the demos. So far, the demo gods have been good to me. We'll see if that continues. All right. So first thing, if you download these, we're going to have links to the contents afterwards. Okay. And I put a lot of comments in here. We're not going to really focus on the comments that much. If you ever have problems with this, you can always view the comments. So first thing is, because we're going to use test drive in this process, we need to go over a quick demo of what test drive is and how you can do it.
Okay.
So test drive is essentially just a PowerShell drive. If you're familiar with PowerShell drives, you know, your C dollar, E dollar, cert dollar, certificate dollar, any of these HKLM registry stuff.
You mean colon.
Yes, colon.
Yeah, cert colon.
Cert, yes, yeah, exactly. Right. So test drive is a PowerShell drive that's temporarily spun up whenever a test starts.
Oh.
And this is a neat thing to use, is because whenever you write unit tests, your unit tests have nothing to do with the actual environment. So this is all in just PowerShell. So you can create files, read files, whatever you have to do just to test the code that you're working with. And if you're using files, test drive is a great thing.
So is this like a virtual drive in memory? It doesn't really drop anything on the disk at all?
Or? Well, technically, it does. I think there was some talk about making it completely virtual. Mm-hmm. But actually, if you look in the, we have a section there in the Pester book of, it's actually just a folder in a temporary location for now. But it's a great way to use. So to demonstrate this, I want to first say the test drive does not exist outside of a describe block. To demonstrate that, I can go in here and run this, and it's going to say false because it doesn't exist, because it's automatically spun up whenever a describe block is done here. So because we are also using the before all and after all here. Now, you may think, well, what is that? We haven't even discussed that yet. So before we even do that, let's go ahead and comment. Let's go ahead and comment this out. And for now,
so what's I gotta know, what's the shortcut key?
Oh, control, was it control forward slash.
Okay.
Yeah, forward slash. Cool. Yep. All right. So we're commenting all this out here. And now, just as we can focus on test drive for now, this is going to say test this drive or test this path, whatever it is, should exist. Exist is another one of those operators that tests if a file exists.
Okay.
It just technically just runs test path in the, in the background. But
all right.
So it just runs should exist, and then same thing here, the file we created in the test drive exists. So here I've actually creating a file up here. So actually, let me take that back. We're creating a file here. So as you can see here in the describe block, I'm doing add content, referencing test drive, test file.txt, and putting in a value of, you know, whatever.
Okay.
All right. So this before all is a simple way to say run this code here before any of the test it blocks.
Oh, okay.
And we're going to cover this a little bit in more detail later. For now, let's just suffice it to say this is going to run before all of the it blocks, and after all is going to run essentially.
So kind of like begin process and end in a function thing?
Actually, it's more resembles try, catch, finally.
Oh, okay.
So in the background, this is actually just running try, catch, finally. So whenever you have the before all is like kind of the top of the try block, and after all is actually in a finally block under the covers.
That's good to know.
Yep. So it runs all that. So this is really good. I'll show you some behavior of that later, but...
So we're setting up the test by dropping a file. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to test against it.
Yep.
And then when we're done, we're going to display the contents of that file.
Yep. Just to show that the file exists, we're just going to write it out with write host. Just to see that it exists.
So the before and after, those aren't really creating test results, are they?
No.
It's just the it blocks are doing the test results.
The it blocks are the only thing that always provides test results. That's the assert phase. So up here, this before and after all, these can actually be like, you know, the arrange and act phases, I guess, in that AAA approach that I talked about.
Well, let's run it, see what it does.
Yep. So you go ahead and run this. We will
just hit F5 or?
Yep, F8.
F8, all right.
Yep. And then see now that the test drive did exist.
Okay.
Because we're in the describe block and it did create the file because we did it up here before all. And then I have the write host in here to show that what it was. So after all the blocks ran, it got the output of test file, and it showed us here with test file at the end. So just kind of a demonstration of the after all effect.
Cool.
All right. So that's about all there is for test drive. So pretty simple concept.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I went into before all, after all, before each, and after each. I really like this feature a lot. So I'm not going to go through this quickly. We kind of went through that real quick with the test drive thing. But you can see here this is just I'm not really doing any good tests right now.
Okay.
This is just kind of demonstrating the functionality of before all, after all, and before each. So as you learned before all, just going to run whatever code that you want before each of the it blocks. This is good for setting up shared sessions. Mm-hmm. If you're creating a PS session and you're running that against, you know, whatever you want, each of your it blocks.
Oh, okay.
Maybe you're setting up a database connection or something, you're doing integration tests or things like that. That's where the before all code usually comes into play. For now, I'm just saying write host just to show you that it's in the before all block. After all block, same thing, just runs after all the it blocks.
All right, so let me guess what happens next here. Right. So we've got before each and after each. Mm-hmm. So we're in a describe block. So before all, after all says before all these tests in the describe block, and then after all these tests. So if I'm using my PowerShell skills here and I'm just looking at this, reading it on the surface, I would think before each one of the it blocks and after each one of the it blocks, it's going to do these other steps.
You're a smart one, Ashley.
Oh, I'm catching on.
Yep, exactly. Just that this code just runs before each and after all of them. So we can just run this real quick. And you kind of see the demonstration. Hi, I'm in the before all block. Notice that it runs only once. Uh-huh. Before each, after each, and then one after all.
But I would expect the output stream to show the test result between before and after each.
The way the write host does this, the test actually does run. Uh-huh. This is executing the code, and then the output of that code goes, it sends it to here. So it's kind of, you're right, it's kind of a little confusing that you don't show the actual test result in the middle.
I've seen that, though, with PowerShell output. Sometimes it doesn't always show them in the same order.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, so that's all that is there. So that's before all, after all, and before each, and after each.
Okay, so that's part of the bigger picture of test-driven development then.
Yep, that is the big picture. And now we need to go down through and go over a TDD example.
Okay.
So I have each of these callouts here. We're going to be discussing these individual little callouts here in our example here. So first thing we're going to do, we're going to start out with a function. So let's say I have one called testFoo. I always use that for some example for my demos.
Sure.
And testFoo is going to do something. It doesn't really matter at this point what it does. So I'm going to highlight this. Hit F8 just to bring it into my sessions. Okay. And I have a testFoo function available in my session. Next thing here, the describe block. Notice that I have test-foo. This is sort of the common practice of whenever you create a describe block, you create it with the same name as the function. So there's typically a one-to-one match between describe blocks and functions.
So when you're running a massive test, testing lots of code, one script's going to have tons of functions in it. Now I can see specifically which functions happening in the output.
Yep. Because a function is simply going to have a lot of different tests just for the function itself. Mm-hmm. It's good behavior just to do describe, call out the function, and then I'll have all the individual tests in there for that individual function. And then here, since we went over the before all, in this case, we are going to just create a file again, one called foo and one called not here, just creating some files.
Okay.
And that is the arrange phase. Act phase is where we actually execute it. So we are executing code that we're trying to test. In this instance, I'm just running test foo, passing the file path of whatever those test drives, and then capturing the output.
Okay.
And then once we do this, we go into the assert phase, which is the it blocks. That's where we say this should be this or this should not be this, that sort of thing. So the first one is the good naming convention for it blocks is when something happens, it should do this. When a context, it should do this. So in this instance, saying when the file has foo in it, it should return true. Notice that I do not have any of this code up here. So just looking at it, it's not going to do anything at all at this point.
It's going to fail that test.
It's going to fail, which is what we want. We want it to fail. So we know ahead of time that when the file has foo in it, it should return true. That's what we want the end result to be.
So this is a process, really, of designing tests. You design them all to fail at first so that you know when each one begins to come true, you've written the code properly.
Yep. Exactly, and it really gives you a checklist of code. So you write all the tests first, you make one pass, check, make the other one pass, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Yep, and the same thing here. When the file does not have foo in it, should return false. These are just all the things that I expect it to do.
Okay.
Once you have all the tests built for the code, you can just run the code, and then notice that both your tests are going to fail, obviously, because this one expected true, but was nothing, because we don't have any code in there yet.
Right.
But we verified that it's failed.
Okay.
So once we have creating the tests, then we start adding the code in to just match one, make one test pass at a time. So we want to do very methodical, professional code. So in this instance, I'm just doing select string with whatever the file path is, pattern foo. If it's in there, it's going to be true. So let's copy and hit F8 and put this in our console here. And then now we can run our test again. Then now notice the first one passed and the second one failed.
Okay. So somewhere we created a file already that had foo in it?
Yep. So we did that in the before all block here.
All right.
Yep. This is where we're actually creating that fictional file that we we talked about. It's a good way to do use test drive.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you verify that the first one passed, then you just make the second one pass as well, since we're just doing a true or false here, else.
Okay.
Don't do, return false. So let's say we're working on this, and we bring it in here, and we run our test again. So run this whole describe block here. Then notice both of them pass.
Oh.
So you just continue to do that over and over and over again, and you'll know that each scenario that you have will be tested, and you trust your code, and it's a really good methodology to use. And then, finally, just like I do, my testing methodology is how I write these tests, make it all in a describe block, copy and paste and do this sort of thing.
Right.
And then now I'm just going to bring it, just as I do for all your time, bring it into a test file. This test file is exactly the same as what I had before. Then invoke it with invoke pester, and that way, and then I get the executing script, I get completed in the summary and everything like that.
Okay, so what we can take away from this segment then is it's a best practice to use test-driven development, TDD. It's like designing your script, determining what you want to do with your code, and then as you write the code to satisfy each one of those tests, then now you've kind of got all your tests done. When you finish the code and the test, it's all good.
You integrate your test with your development, so it's not an after the fact thing.
Okay. Now stay tuned next, because we're going to catch the cheaters. We're going to look for code coverage. So yeah, I've got tests for my code, but if you're not testing everything in the code, that's kind of cheating. So we're going to show you next what code coverage looks like with Pester, so stay tuned.